With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. You're with Mike Ryan on today's News Talk Radio. TNT. TNT.
This hour, we have a very special guest, a man who knows all, Mr. Carson. He tells us that anyway. Usually more after a couple of bottles of red. A cheap red. Cheap red, too. Hopefully you'll talk to me after this. I often go on about the Australian media. Media, full stop. How its standards are slipping. Now, an important story, I'll just find this important story for you. Growing fears a potentially deadly mosquito-borne virus has reached Adelaide. Now, it's all about encephalitis, okay? Now, this is a very important story because it's about this terrible disease from mozzies that can do enormous brain damage. It's been around for a long, long time. I actually worked at... I lived in Mildura in Victoria, which is it's about last stop before hell, Dad used to say. I probably disagree. I think it is. But anyway, we used to live there, and we had every now and then with floods, you have encephalitis because of the mozzies. So this important story, it's, you know, all over the news. Channel 7 in Adelaide ran a story about encephalitis, and what we've done is we've put a few bits and pieces in to show you that how the quality of journalism is nothing less than appalling.
There are growing fears tonight that a potentially deadly mosquito-borne virus has reached Adelaide.
Let's go live to Hannah Ford with the details. Hannah, authorities aren't taking any chances.
They sure aren't, Rosanna. A major operation has been launched to prevent the spread of Murray Valley encephalitis, for which there is no vaccine.
Do you speak any English?
Encephalitis.
That's not a language.
Today, mosquito traps were rolled out across the northern suburbs, including here at Mawson Lakes, after the virus was detected in insects collected in SA flood zones last week. Authorities are now desperate to confirm if mosquitoes in the metro area are carrying the virus so they can alert the public as soon as possible. Experts say while the majority of infected people show no symptoms, it can be serious, even fatal in some cases. Today, 7 News spoke to one Riverland local who's rushed to Adelaide to get vaccinated against Japanese encephalitis.
Stupid lady.
After his neighbour was recently struck down.
It took him about a number of months before he was able to recognise who we even were, and he nearly died.
It's the highest risk sort of in our face.
The message from authorities is to avoid being bitten altogether by wearing long sleeves and repellent whenever you're outside. Samples from the insects collected here will be processed over the next 48 hours.
Do you speak any English?
Encephalitis.
That's not a language.
Stupid lady.
So there you are. That's my point. Australian journalism. I mean, it'd be like saying... I can't think of anything really, but it's an important story that people should heed because, you know, it's a very, if you get bitten by a mozzie that has encephalitis, not encephalitis, you can die or be maimed forever. And yet Channel 7, in their wisdom, the editorial department were obviously probably still at school, probably in grade 3 or grade 4. Appalling. That is appalling. Grade 4 students would know more than she does. So there you are. That's my point. The other thing that has been, you know, James O'Neill and I were talking about it today over a cup of fluffy white. He had a mocha coffee not real coffee, but he enjoys it. We're talking about Al Gore. Al Gore again warns the Earth will not make it past the year 2012.
Thanks, Mike. While at the World Economic Forum, Al Gore delivered a stern warning on climate change, saying the world will not make it past the year 2012 if something isn't done immediately. The situation has never been more dire, said Gore while wiping the lipstick of a Swiss hooker off his face. It's more dire than it was yesterday, and more dire than it was the day before, and even more dire than the day before that. Sources say the crowd began to fall asleep as he continued. In fact, we have minus 11 years to fix this, Gore said as he began shouting and waving his arms to hold everyone's attention. By 2012, we will have reached the point of no return, and trillions of people will die painful deaths, and the polar bears will have to grow gills and live in the water because there will be no more ice, and Kevin Costner and his friends will have to help us escape from artificial islands in the ocean and lead us to the mythical dry land, unless someone builds a time machine back to the year 2000 to warn the world of its impending doom. Trust the experts. The consensus of climate scientists voiced their agreement with Gore by accepting his funding and then booking TV hits on CNN to warn of the imminent disaster 11 years ago. At publishing time, experts confirmed that Gore's speech had reduced global temperatures by half a degree. Back to you, Mike.
Thanks. Actually, I tell a lie. It wasn't coffee. It was a couple of margaritas, as we should have, being a Friday here. It was early in the morning, but why the hell not? It's 5 o'clock somewhere, isn't it? It was for Michael. And his friends there, James O'Neill and all those people, all there enjoying margaritas. So thank you very much, fellas. Okay, if you want to make a call and have an opinion on the air, we actually will listen to you. A couple of hours' time, Jason Q Citizen, Jason Olborn, along with Nicola Charles and Rick Munn with Nicola, 1 hour later, will be opening the lines where you can vent your frustrations, talk about Davos, talk about the weekend. What about the surging cost of electricity throughout Australia? What about the same thing? What about no electricity in South Africa? You know, 10-hour blackouts. So we are heading to that stage, whether you're in the US or the UK or Europe or Australia. If they have it now, 10-hour blackouts, and it's going to get worse, then what's in store for all of us if we follow that stupid path of renewables, unreliables, as Malcolm Roberts says? Anyway, you want to find the numbers? Just go to our website at tntradio.live and you can find out everything there, all sorts of things. So our website has a chat line on it as I'm loading something up because I didn't have it in. It's chat line. That's always pretty vicious, pretty exciting, pretty interesting. It's like a social get-together. And the website, again, by the way, is tntradio.live.
We're not exactly mind readers, but
they say what I'm thinking.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
French President Emmanuel Macron says Europe must decide whether it wants to be free or a vassal of China or the US. Jeremy Beck, tell us more.
Thanks, Mike. French President Emmanuel Macron says Europe has found itself in the throes of an unprecedented crisis over the Ukraine conflict. Europe's economic model is being profoundly affected by the direct and indirect consequences of this war, he says. In terms of economics, the world is defined by the polarity between the United States and China, and Europe has yet to decide whether it wants to become the vassal of one of the two or pursue the path of freedom and solidarity, Macron says. He insists that while Europe has so far been unable to fully reply to this question, the answer is an economically, technologically, and militarily sovereign Europe. In other words, a truly powerful Europe. Now, the European Union has two groups of nations that have different views on the bloc's future, argues Macron. Eastern Europe seeks more national autonomy within the EU, and we have to know how to listen to them, he says. And he notes that the global capitalist system itself is in a crisis since it no longer lifts people out of poverty, but only causes inequalities to skyrocket, causing the crisis of confidence for democracies. These are all big picture issues of importance, Mike, but I'm yet to see Macron provide a real solution.
Yeah, he hasn't got a solution, but he's opened the communication. The lines are open with him. I mean, don't call him here. He's not working with us, but I mean, his lines are open with Russia and Belarus and all those either states of territories of Russia or allies of Russia. So at least he wants to, he would like this thing to stop, which is not like the others. I mean, if you look at Germany, I mean, they have given the last 30 tanks that are working to Ukraine. I have to ask you this, Jeremy, I'm always going about this. The West is just still pouring money into Ukraine. Has anybody ever asked where the money is going?
Well, where is it going? Good question. I think there is a big black hole there. It's gone missing. But at the end of the day, this military industrial complex has a lot of black holes. There is a oil for weapons scheme, the Al-Yamama oil for weapons scheme between the United Kingdom and Saudi Arabia, which has been going for decades and decades. And there was a massive black hole of money there that people were wondering, where's the money? And it wasn't money exchanges of weapons, it was oil for weapons. And so there's all sorts of strange deals going on. But with Ukraine, massive tens and tens of billions of dollars of weapons, and there's probably a fair bit of money going off into people's back pockets that are unaccounted for.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's highly corrupt, and I mean, all they have to do, all the nations that are involved, all their peoples have to do, or the citizens, just ask where the money is. Actually, I think what is more needed is for the media. They're part of the information operation, so they're not going to do that. But the media, if they said to Joe Biden or to Rishi Sunak in the UK or to Albanese, even Anthony Albanese, now, where's the money gone? And I think the comment has been of late, basically, we don't know, but we're giving this money, this aid to Ukraine, and there is no accountability, I think, that that there's a few oligarchs, one in particular that's very happy because his bank balance, along with Zelensky, is growing. And if they were given all this money, why do they need to be given military aid? Why can't they just go and buy it with the money they've been given? Jeremy Beck, thank you very much. Have a great weekend. Hopefully, what's the weather like in Melbourne today?
Nice and sunny, actually. Not that hot, but warm enough. It's quite pleasant.
And what about weekend-wise?
I haven't even checked the weather forecast yet. Been too busy.
That's good to hear. But here, we live on the Gold Coast, centre of the universe for culture and intelligence. And it's absolutely miserable. The guy on the... this is... here we are. Propaganda from... or disinformation from mainstream media. The guy doing the weather said yesterday, because we had one sunny day, he said, oh, we've had a pretty good run so far, so don't be disappointed with the rain. We've had one pretty good day so far, and it's been cloudy and overcast and wet and miserable. So if you're thinking about moving to the Gold Coast or coming to the Gold Coast for a bit of a holiday, vacation, don't. Go to Melbourne. They actually have better weather than we do at the moment. Jeremy, have a great weekend. This is TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Jesse Zurawell.
My working thesis, as is many other people's, is that COVID-19, in inverted commas, the COVID-19 operation, is primarily driven by global financial and monetary collapse.
I see that they're going to use continued emergency measures as a justification for continued bailouts of the financial sector, and I believe that throughout the West, I think Europe's going to be hit harder than the United States, but it'll occur within the United States. Two, I believe they're going to continue to devalue currencies and create greater inflation, just ratcheting up the hyperinflation, then use that as a justification for developing a universal basic income, developing central bank digital currencies, and essentially making people more dependent on the state.
Jesse Zurawell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines. and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
Far-left Brazilian Supreme Court orders banks to block funds of businessmen who supported the protesters in mass democracy rallies. Sounds like Canada, doesn't it?
The federal government has invoked the Emergencies Act.
Today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
That ad from Tess Laurie, marvelous doctor. In fact, she put me onto black seed oil capsules. If you're looking for something that is an antiviral, black seed oil capsules. Of course, we take quercetin, which is also good for prevention, and it is also has antiviral properties to it. But she sounds like Tim. I think this could be a thumbs up. Do you think she sounds like the stunt double for the Queen? I mean, I know the Queen's not here, so she may not have any extra work coming in. But unless she's in the Crown or something, but she sounds like the Queen. Now we live in a crazy, politically incorrect world where virtue signalling is superior to virtue and lies, propaganda, and meaningless promises are not only tolerated but expected from our leaders. Richard Carson is the co-host of TNT Radio's Politically Incorrect, and he is. It's usually that second bottle of cheap red. Now, in their show, each Saturday at 5 p.m. Brizzy time, Richard and his partner in crime, Mike Tennessee, expound on unspeakable truths in politics and elsewhere. Richard Carson, welcome.
How are you, Mike? Nice to have a few moments of your time. I know you're a busy lad, but I'd welcome the opportunity to browse over some of the manicness that is afflicting the world at large. But I'll let you run the show for a change, because I have to normally wait for Mr. Tennessee to run it.
Yeah, no, he's very bossy, isn't he?
He's an extremely bossy fellow, but that's all right. Yeah, we don't mind.
More so after a few extra reds too. I mean, we talk about having a red.
He can be caught out late after lunch, you're right.
Never mind. Lunch, he's before lunch.
I find him quite loquacious after a couple of reds. Now, he knows his way around a bottle, like that's the name.
Well, we all aspire to his greatness.
I know. Well, he's a great man.
Now, I was going through some things online, and because one of your favourite pet subjects or hates is the EV, all this stuff about saving the planet. I want to play this because, and you got to listen a bit closely because it has it's a bit, the quality isn't as great as it should be. But this is the EV charging station in the middle of the Nullarbor.
And understand where the word net came from.
Oops, that's the wrong one. Where are we? It's not working. Here we are. Nope. Guess what? We haven't got that here. So I'm going to go to another one. This should have been the one I wanted to play.
Oh, I would have rather had a go at electric vehicles.
I've got so many numbers here. It's number 11. It's number 11, but I can't.
Number 11's dropped off.
Well, what we'll do is, as I'm looking for it, I go to another grab here. This is as I weasel my way out. I had it lined up. Can't believe it.
Oh, never mind.
don't tell the boss. Now, this is McLeod in WA. Get your thoughts on this.
Now, to today's announcement regarding the state's ongoing transition to life, given the state of emergency is well over. We all know COVID-19 challenged communities right across the world like nothing seen before. It brought devastation to some communities, death, sickness, rolling lockdowns, economic depression and chaos. But here in Western Australia, we avoided the horrors witnessed around the world. Unlike other states around the nation, Western Australians spent just 12 days in lockdown following the height of the pandemic in April 2020, whilst other states spent months or even years in lockdown. Our children, for the most part, continued to go to school. Our resources industry continued to operate. Our economy helped power the rest of the nation. I'm incredibly proud of how West Australians work together at a time of crisis to protect and support each other. With the state of emergency now behind us, it's critical that we take the opportunity to reflect on the lessons of the pandemic and provide learnings for future generations. It's important we get the settings right to ensure the state is prepared for future pandemics. That is why today we're announcing the panel of experts to review Western Australia's COVID-19 management and response. You might recall I committed to this in December or November of last year. three experts who are highly experienced and independent. They are the Honourable John Day, Emeritus Professor Margaret Sears, and Dr. Michael Shaper.
So there you are. That's McLeod with his independent review of COVID management. How legitimate do you think this will be?
100% not. Mm-hmm. I don't know the other fellows, Day, Sears or Shaper, but I have no doubt they're hand-picked and they've already got the answers to the questions to arrive at the answer that they want to. But how can this clown McGowan make an observation that he got it right? He had the place locked down totally, never mind about locally. He shut the whole state up. These politicians are beyond comprehension with their venal bloody commentary and how they've conducted themselves for nearly 3 years. There's not one that I'm aware of. It's some independent and a few senators that have been very decent in speaking out. The rest of them are cowering behind someone's dress, hopeless.
They are. It's like the medical profession. I mean, I have lost in all my respect for the medical profession, except one or two, because they know full well that the vaccine, inverted commas vaccine, is extremely dangerous.
It's not a vaccine. It's not a vaccine as a vaccine that you and I were probably stuck with back in the 60s and 70s. They were well. They went through a whole process to arrive. And also, I speak to a gentleman, a Professor Ted Steele, and he told me I was lining up for my flu vaccine about March 2020, and he started laughing. I said, what's the joke? He said, they don't work. I said, what do you mean? He said, you can't stick something in your arm to fix up your immunomucosal system. That's immunology, epidemiology 101. We all know it. Well, obviously, everyone in Australia, scientific community, doesn't know it because they were the ones urging, I think, our erstwhile Prime Minister Morrison and his crappy Health Minister Hunt to inform us all to go and get jabbed. Well, from that day on, I thought, well, that's very good information. I didn't know that. Now, the problem we've all suffered, Mike, in the last 2.5 years with our, I don't like calling them mainstream media. I think LLM's better, lying legacy media would be a more appropriate word for the bastards.
I'm going to use that myself.
No, you may. Take it on board.
Thank you very much,
they have chosen to tell the whole of Australia and worldwide media, the whole of the world, nothing, zero, zip. So, you know, to have these people making these commentaries and what they and how wonderful they were, appalling, absolutely appalling. And I hope we get a few minutes here this afternoon to wander over a few of the damaging things that they've done.
Well, just talk about that. I mean, just for example, the in WA, it was one of the world's longest border closures, under 700 days.
That's not bad.
It's not bad at all. It kept the virus. Get the virus out.
Well, it actually didn't, because later on, I think it was February of 22, wasn't this year, 22, was when we got our burst of the fairly solid breakout. Was it called Omicron or something, or moronic? I think that's what the word stands for.
They were the ones administering the inverted commas vaccines. They were the morons.
Well, that's when poor old Western Australia suddenly got outbreaks all over the flat, and they had no idea how it happened because no one had been there, but suddenly people were coming down with the dreaded Omicron variant. Mm. And then all those who had been jabbed got it.
That's right.
That was a bit of a bugger too, wasn't it?
Well, let's get the jab and you can get yourself. You know, some places had they're giving out fries. Others were giving out hamburgers to get the jab. Even on the things that are quite repulsive. What about the Australia Zoo, I think it's called, with the one with Steve Irwin?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to bring up, if you can just bear with me, here it is. Here.
Oh, right,
it says, we are proud to announce that Australia Zoo will be hosting a pop-up Pfizer vaccination hub October 29 to 31. 12 years and over who will get vaccinated and will receive a free streets paddle pop icy twist to celebrate this long weekend event. Walk-ins available each day between 10 and 3. That can't be October 29, 31. They got the wrong month even. But what they're doing is they're going to give out the vaccines at the Australia Zoo of the...
That must have been last year, was it, or the year before?
No, it came out today, but it has to be talking about...
Oh, it can't be.
But they're talking about this long weekend, and I'm just sort of a bit baffled with this. It'd have to be last year, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it couldn't be now.
Hmm.
I mean, everyone I know, and fortunately I seem to know people with an IQ above 3, thank the heavens, a lot of them, and I won't say they weren't coerced, or they weren't frightened. They weren't having a bar of it until they couldn't interrelate with their friends or their family or go to restaurants and enjoy their own life. So they went and got jabbed.
Mm.
And that was the sum total to get a green tick. Well, unfortunately, an awful lot of the poor buggers got more than a green tick and they're still suffering from the effects of this rubbish.
Yeah, I would have, let me tell you, if I'd known there was a paddle pop there, or two paddle pops, I would have been there.
You would have gone back because you would have been like an old kid in a school back in the 60s. If there was a free ice cream, you went round twice.
Not so old.
Now, of course, you were only a youngster in the 70s and 80s. I was probably should have been alluding to myself.
That's right. I mean, you're still looking good for your age.
Oh, right. Yes, I know. Thanks.
Hang in there. We'll go to a quick news break. This is TNT Radio.
I have some good news.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Russia has accused the European Union of being a slave to the United States for joining its proxy war against Moscow in Ukraine. A recent survey out of India has revealed the majority of citizens in the country see the United States as a military threat to their nation. And Washington has announced it's ready to start sending Ukraine the cash from sold seized Russian assets and has urged its allies to start doing the same.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
And my guest is Richard Carson. We're talking about all sorts of things that make no sense and are very dangerous to our life cycle. But there was this thing, I was going to play it to you before, but there was too many number 11s, but I found the one. And this is about this EV charging station the middle of the Nullarbor.
Hey, again, folks, I thought I'd grab your attention for a minute this morning and just talk to you about something that's becoming very important in Australia, and that's electric cars coming in. Something we need to think about because the environment needs us to be careful with it. Now, I've just turned up out here. I'm halfway across the Nullarbor at the moment, and things are starting to change. As you can see, we've got electric vehicle charging stations. Now, we didn't see that here 5 years ago. People are becoming aware of this, and we all need to be. Let me take a moment. I'll show you how it works. Come this way. So this is what we do. The first thing you need to do when you're becoming environmentally friendly is cut a few trees down, because you're going to need some pallets to put your diesel fuel on, of course. Now, this fuel now runs through this gadget, which is called a generator. The outer casing of the generator is made of metal, all in all. It's natural, so the whole lot is environmental. Inside there, a lot of copper wire, coils, it generates the electricity. The electricity comes through to this here at the front, which is, of course, our charging station, where we plug our environmentally friendly car into, and whoop, there we go, saving the world one step at a time. Start thinking about it.
Now, that's satire, of course, but this is how stupid the whole thing is. With an electric vehicle, if you were to, and they want all of Australia to have electric vehicles in the next, decade or so, if that's the case, or close to it, if that's the case, travelling, say, from Brisbane to Sydney by car.
Right.
How big would your, because you'd have to charge halfway because you're going to run out of juice.
Run out of battery, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, therefore, what is it, 10,000 vehicles a day? Just say 10,000 vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And those vehicles take, what, 8 hours to charge properly? About 8 hours. Yeah,
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, so if you have 10,000 vehicles travelling each day and they've got to sort of charge, get some juice in those batteries before they take off, then how many charging stations do you think they would need?
Well,
10,000?
Well, if they went to sort of 80% of their limit, so they're going to be about, 300 kilometres down the road from Brisbane. So then we're going to have about 20,000 acres set aside with cement, something sticking up with a PowerPoint on it or whatever you're going to do. And I can't quite imagine what the traffic jam would be like. And there's going to be any amount of isolated vehicles sitting around for hours at a time. And then, of course, you might want to add a few extra hours onto your travel time, like about five. That should really make people happy. But, Mike, there's a lot of facets to this which make no sense at all. But the one that I'm noticing more and more of are those electric scooters that keep catching on fire when people are charging them at night and burning their homes down. Now, that's a minor issue, I would have thought. That's the lithium battery. Is that what it is in them?
They're great. They're fantastic.
Well, you're going to get a skyrocket or a house burning in your street every other day, which, is probably quite interesting, providing it's not yours.
They're exceptionally popular. In fact, they're very hot.
At about 2 a.m. in the morning when you're getting out of your bed, looking for your dressing gown and ducking out onto the lawn while your hut burns down. there's another little problem with these electric vehicles, which is only starting to come. I noticed the other day a body corporate group were talking about being unable to get insurance for high-rise buildings if there were electric vehicles being charged in the basement.
Really?
Yeah. Well, the insurance companies are getting a bit chary about a few things that have happened to us all in the last couple of years. One of them is the sudden adult death syndrome occurring from those who have been boosted, etc. And then there's a call on the insurance policies. Well, some of them have been taken to court and finding that people might have intentionally committed suicide by being injected, because the stuff has killed them. So therefore, they're not necessarily going to be paid out with their policy. Take that a step further into, I don't know how many high-rise buildings there are in Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane, but there's a couple. And then they're not going to want to be offering the body corporate insurance on the building. I'd also be, knowing that these things do catch on fire, you might have remembered a couple of years ago there was a ship full of all sorts of vehicles. And it burnt to the waterline. I think there was about $100 million worth of vehicles on it. Some of them were electric. I can only assume that the batteries went off or something. Anyway, the whole show went up and down they all went, BMWs, you name it.
Yeah, they're pretty good, aren't they?
Well, that was all sort of dusted under the carpet. We don't nothing to see here. But it's a big issue. But just the general stupidity of it and the electricity required. Another person observed to me, if you were in a street and every, say, a street with 20 or 20, 30 houses in it, and every car was an electric vehicle car, and they all came home at 6 or 7, popped the old motor on the charging thing, the street would go into a brownout. And that's all very well. But other observations are there's not enough infrastructure in inner city, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, to even allow for the quantum of charging stations that would therefore be required if they were allowed to have them in high-rise buildings. Doesn't work.
Mm.
Now, I don't think anyone, we know most of our political class are probably too brain dead to understand anything. That's a separate issue. But there's no questions. Now, we'll call them the mainstream media for the moment. Is there any querying on this? I don't know, because I've given up reading it, I'm sorry. So that's my problem. And I don't watch 7, 9, 10, 2 or any other particular variant, because it's just too one-sided. And there's no decent inquiring journalist there. But are you seeing anything of people actually questioning the things that are going wrong with electric vehicles?
I have in a roundabout way.
Oh, good.
Not questioning, but You can. I mean, what you're saying is very correct. It is correct. But the new thing is now our 15-minute city, and the 15-minute city is supposedly to eliminate the need, you know, for cars.
Oh, right.
So Melbourne is one of those cities that have a 20-minute city, they're called, or neighbourhood, 20-minute neighbourhood.
Is that as far as you can go?
Then you get a I think you have to get a bus or something like that. So what they want you to do is to stay in your neighbourhood, walk from A to B, shop close by, and that's your little village. And then if you want to get out into the pastures, out of your little village, then I think there's all sorts of restrictions, and they encourage you to take public transport. So the idea is then that you don't need your car. Now, the electric car is sort of a contradiction to that, because the idea of the electric car, or EV, is supposedly to reduce emissions. What the councils are doing, they're going to reduce cars, full stop, and they want you to use public transport. And it's created all sorts of... it's created a lot of upset in the UK, and I won't play it now, but I've got some grabs here of people.
Oh, I'm aware of that huge outcry in Oxford.
Yeah.
Tens of thousands of people are just absolute. But see, here we go again. So if we've got the MC, let's pick on the good old MCG, and people want to go to the game Richmond versus someone on a Saturday afternoon, and they get 85,000. I'll bet 85,000 don't live within 15 minutes of the MCG. So what are they going to do?
Get public transport.
Have they got to go and show their passport so they can go to the AFL for the afternoon?
Don't
or something?
Know. But I would think, though, if you're looking at the good folk at the WEF, I would, because I mean, you know, some may say that they love passports, and I'm probably one of those. I mean, sure, you'd probably have to have your passport to say that you are allowed to travel out of your area under, as a privilege to get out of your 15 or 20 minute area. So maybe that's the way they. But I mean, the whole thing. I mean, often I hear about the conspiracies. Part of me believes that, and the other part believes it's just local government and government doing what they do best and create absolute chaos with and look at the councillors. I mean, you think the federal or state politicians are bad? Look at local councils; they're appalling.
But the whole process of this is surely must be an anathema to the majority. I'll say Australians for the moment. I can't imagine it's any good for people. Maybe it is in Nebraska or somewhere, but you know, Australians generally don't sit well with authoritarian structure. They're inclined to say, well, we'll get off and do our own thing and enjoy themselves. And I can't imagine on a hot day when you suddenly think, I'll take the children to the beach. Oh, no, you can't go. I'm sorry. You've got to go and get a bus and do this, and you'll probably get there by 4 o'clock this afternoon and then come back.
But
that is a complete lunacy.
No, but if you look at what happened over COVID and with all those rolling up for their jibby jabs,
yeah,
I mean
they all played the game.
Yeah, and didn't know what they're putting in their veins or in their bodies. They just believe government. So if government says this is good for the planet and good for the environment, and you can really embrace your 20-minute neighbourhood. I mean, I haven't yet worked it out if it's 20 minutes from your place out. So if you went right out to the edge of your universe or galaxy, then that would be actually 40 minutes. Because you got 20 minutes one side and you go right to the other side and you got 40 minutes. I mean,
it's a bloody lunacy. Listen,
but it's happening in Melbourne.
It's actually happening.
Yes, there are the Melbourne City Council, which would have to be one of the great wacky woke councils on the planet.
Oh, right.
So it's not might happen. It is happening.
Well, probably if it's the wokes locking themselves up into a confined space, that might be a good thing. If that's what they want to do. Can I just come back? You mentioned the COVID thing early on, and I'm going to go back to, I can't recall when, probably October, November 2021, but I heard two statements which I think are rather interesting, because I think the COVID thing's been a complete and utter disgrace, and it'll probably get revisited upon us. But I heard at the time the Health Minister Hunt make a comment when I was still watching a bit of the news that it was a clinical trial.
Mm.
That then disappeared off the face of the earth. And then I heard our erstwhile Prime Minister at the time, a gentleman called Morrison, make a similar comment. Those given the placebos will be included and accepted as having been vaccinated. Now, I just want to pick up on that. That also disappeared, but he certainly said it, because we know a gentleman called Dr. Johnson who, on receiving his first 1,000 vials, I should call them vials, of this crap, 500 were noted as being a saline solution and 500 were mRNA solution. Now, if you take that, if Morrison and Hunt were aware of A, a clinical trial, or B, a placebo structure in here, could we not ask Mr. Morrison, if it was so necessary to be vaccinated with this rubbish, what about the 500 that didn't get it? So he was happy if it was, well, I now know those that didn't get the bloody real McCoy were lucky. They were lucky. But the very fact that the bloke was aware of two things going into people's arms, also useless, but that's another matter. And then he had the temerity to say, oh, well, they're vaccinated anyway. So if it was a necessary product to keep people okay, he was actually saying it's okay to get rid of half of them.
Mm.
But, you know, this is the sort of inconsistency that's absolutely paramount in everything that's happened since March 2020. At every turn, they're lying, they're obfuscating, they're hiding facts and figures, and they're really hiding them now, aren't they?
They are.
Here's one for you. I think this was an error, but anyway, I'll pass it on quickly. I think it was last week I was appraised of a report from the New South Wales Health Department with all the different people who were jabbed and what, you know, they were in hospital and this and that and a whole lot of facts and figures. And then there was one column on the damn report, and it said the number of unvaccinated, you know, the horrors of the world, the unvaccinated, the number of the unvaccinated committed to hospital, naught, none, zero, quite fit and well. Now, this is the stupidity. I certainly I'm sad that people were coerced and didn't have things explained to them. I've done a straw poll and asked quite a few people who I know are vaccinated, were they told of the potential dangers? Everyone said no, nothing. One person was given a piece of paper after the event and asked to read it.
Wow.
This is the sort of rubbish that has been everywhere.
Actually what we should do is just go to a quick break. I'll come back and I'll play you something from 1976. And if you can just tell me the difference between 1976 in this clip and, say, a couple of years ago. This is TNT Radio.
Former UK Prime Minister's father, Stanley Johnson, has said the quiet part out loud. Get ready for climate lockdowns that affect your freedom of movement.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Former UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson's father, Stanley, had this to say on Great Britain News.
So it actually means that countries need to divvy up this carbon budget between them, and then they need to divvy up the sectors, and then they need to have the measures which deal sector by sector with getting the... And if that means actually some of us are told, well, you can't go on a plane, that's fine. That's part of the national plan.
So there you have it. Under the coming climate lockdowns, if you're told you can't go on a plane, that's fine. That's part of a national plan. Remember, we're all in this together. It's part of the national plan. Unless, of course, you fly private, which almost all climate activists, government leaders, academia, and the corporate billionaires pushing this do. Realize net zero equals climate lockdown. Don't let them take your freedom of movement away to try to appease the earth gods. This is Mark Morano for TNT Radio's Morano Minute.
are our love bugs and companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life better. When we face unexpected challenges, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people and their pets. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The doctors that are supposed to protect the vulnerable are killing them with their protocols knowingly. They are absolute cowards. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And my guest is Richard Carson. Now, in 1976, I'll play this. I won't play the whole lot, but I'll play part of it.
This is Channel 7's 11 o'clock Action News with Bill Barnes, John Kelly, and Detroit's number one news team.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bill Bonds, and here's a look at what's happening tonight. And what's happening is that the swine flu vaccination program ground to a halt from coast to coast today. There have been now 12 reported deaths so far, with victims dying just a few hours after receiving those inoculative shots. All of the victims were elderly persons, and all, we are told, died of apparent heart attacks.
So there you are. And that's in 1976, and they had 12 deaths.
Correct.
And how many millions have we had so far? I mean,
well, you wouldn't know because they won't tell you.
I'm aware, I
was told today, this morning, I beg your pardon, of one person, one family, two people died of heart attacks.
That's terrible.
It's terrible, but one of them wanted to get extra boosters. Well, it didn't do him any good. It boosted him right off the planet. Mm. I just like to, you know, that silly old fellow Johnson going on about you can't get on a plane, it's good for the planet. So that's your, you know, your penalty for wanting to be breathing and living. But I asked one of our senators here a while ago, what was the situation with vaccinations for the Australian federal parliamentarians? Did they all have to get vaccinated? And the answer was they could not get vaccinated. They didn't have to be vaccinated at all. Now, these are the same clowns that were telling us all to get vaccinated, but they didn't have to do it. Now, the hypocrisy in this last two and a bit years is frightening. Mm. And, you know, that's that news clip you just played, or I heard just a moment ago, is talking about the elite structures. Well, the elite structures are showing themselves to be complete and utter criminals, and that's being kind to them. Mm. So all I keep hearing of is the double standards. The plebeian Australian public, or the plebs around the world, we'll lock you up. We'll take away your dignity. We'll take away your freedoms. That's fine. While we swan around as happy as tomtits, and there's no penalty for us, we're fine. No, it's not the way to go. So, Mike, I would hope, bit by bit, you know, the work of TNT leaks out to the majority of voters. And if you find anyone who's been in Parliament for the last 5 years, they must instantly be voted out of office. Mm. Don't hold back. Vote them out. That'll start to break through some sort of nexus of the vulnerability, because these upmarket twits, there's not that many of them. There's billions of us and there's a few of them.
Now, we have also, just want to play this, also on the same subject, but in New Zealand, of course, Jacinda Ardern, terrible, 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 terrible person. I'll play this clip and come back and just have a quick chat about, because New Zealand, they got it as bad as Victoria got it. This is Tucker Carlson.
Some rare good news, the appalling Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern, that's the lady with the big teeth who tormented her citizens, has just announced she is leaving office. Here she was moments ago.
Announcing that I will not be seeking re-election. And that my term as Prime Minister will conclude no later than the 7th of February.
Most authoritarian leader that country has ever had, and no one else comes close. An appalling abuser of human rights of her own people. She, of course, earned the admiration of Western leaders, including former CIA director Michael Hayden, by ushering in an era of near totalitarianism in New Zealand. She shut down the entire country over a single COVID case. She told everyone to stay in their bubbles. She told citizens to inform on their neighbors by calling the police if they saw them outside. I'm not making this up, by the way. We kept a video record. Here's some of it.
Stay local and do not congregate. Don't talk to your neighbors. Please keep to your bubbles. It comes down again to those very simple principles. We know from overseas cases of the Delta variant that it can be spread by people simply walking past one another. So keep those movements outside to the bare minimum.
If someone refuses in our facilities to be tested, they have to keep staying. So they won't be able to leave after 14 days. They have to stay on for another 14 days. So it's a pretty good incentive. You either get your tests done and make sure you're cleared, or we will keep you in a facility longer. So I think most people will look at that and say, I'll take the test.
You can now see family and friends again in their homes and use the bathroom inside. Luxury.
What are the chances she was a puppet of the Chinese government? We don't have enough evidence to prove that, but we would rate that as about 100% likely. Fortunately, there is a tiny shred of democracy left in New Zealand. Ardern's party was becoming very unpopular, so before she could lose, she's quitting.
So, Richard, I'm just thinking, though, she left because she would have got annihilated. What happened to our politics in Australia? Because most of them went from strength to strength, except for Morrison. Thank goodness.
Yeah, well, again, it comes down to the lack of exposing of the draconian structures that were imposed, and probably the fear tactics and the intense fear tactics that were employed on people. And I don't know, they lost their nerve, or they didn't have an understanding. Most people I talk with and ask them questions, then I explain what I know versus what they think they know. And you ask them the question, if you knew a half of what I just told you, what would you have done? They say to me, I wouldn't have had the injection. I won't dignify it with a vaccine term, because it's not a vaccine, it's an injection. And it's a very bad injection at that, and it does not work. We need to keep telling the world, jabbing yourself in the arm can't fix your breathing apparatus. Won't, hasn't, never will, and can't. So that's important to know. You won't hear that from the TGA or Mr. Doherty or any of the other cretins or most of the medical profession, because they're all terrified of being delisted by a bunch of people. What's it called? AFRA. I don't think there's a Medico amongst them. Fantastic. So Australia's got an unusual, but I do think a lot of this was forced on the Australian public because they were seen to be, they're not necessarily gullible, but pliable. You know, we don't have a riot if our team doesn't win the election. So we tend to obey and follow laws. It's getting a bit hopeless now with all the juvenile crime, but that's another matter. But the point is, as a populace at large, we are fairly benign in how we go about running our lives. And I think we generously give, we think the people who are in a position of authority are decent. I was at a function two and a half years ago, I'll be as quick as I can, but it was a senior politician in the Queensland legislature. And at the end of the function, he was asking how they could do better. And one gentleman gave him an absolute shellacking. And then I said, it wouldn't hurt for a bit of transparency. And his answer to me was, but we have to lie. And I was thinking about it the other day. That's probably the first time he's told the truth. So, you know, that's what we've got in Australia. We've got liars, and liars. Mm-hmm. We've got appalling mainstream media, hence our LLM moniker for them, lying legacy media. And there is no sign of it lifting or changing, Mike. We're buggered with. So, you know, what you're doing and what TNT Radio is doing in trying to bring, and I know we had a discussion with Dr. Peter Ridd and Dr. Karen Ben a while ago on the Great Barrier Reef. 2 days later, they decided the reef was well, you know, because we exposed their lying. So we've got it's got to be done and done all the time, but it's a hard battle with the non-performance of I don't know how people who work for these people can possibly, you know, hold their head up high anywhere at all in society.
Yeah, I think the media, I think the whole lot, I was talking to a gentleman the other day, I think I can call him a gentleman, and we're just talking about the trust in doctors, and I actually have, zero trust in the medical fraternity right now, and all of my friends, not my family because they don't like me, but all of my friends are of the same ilk. They don't trust government and the medical fraternity and the whole area of bureaucracy. And that alone is a real problem. If you can't trust your doctor, you're in deep doo-doos. Richard Carson, it's always a pleasure. I look forward to your show tomorrow. Hopefully you'll be there.
I'll be there.
Good on you. And we'll be listening and critiquing you.
I'll calm down now that I've had my 20 minutes of fame on the Mike Ryan show.
Well, always find that third glass of red always relaxes.
I'll get home and have one. Thanks for having me on, Mike. And hopefully we've cracked a couple of walnuts this afternoon.
Hopefully we have. This is TNT Radio. Coming up next, we'll have Jason Q. Citizen, the man of mystery, and also the open line 1 hour after he starts. Check the website for the numbers. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you on Monday. Goodbye.